Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, 2nd Chapter, verses 22 to 37. Yadi payasyan nipaparameshtyam vahayasanam mutayad viharam ashtadipatyam gunasanivaye sahaivagache manasandhyaischa. Translation. However, O King, if a yogi maintains a desire for improved material enjoyments, like transference to the topmost planet, Brahmaloka, or the achievement of the Eightfold Perfections, travel in outer space with the Vahayasas, or a situation in one of the millions of planets, then he has to take away with him the materially molded mind and senses. Mukam karati vachalam bangam langhayate girim yakipam tamaham vande shi gurum dinatavinam Om Gyana Timurandasya Gananjana Shavakaya Chakshur Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. In this chapter, Shukadeva is describing the second step in God realization, meditation on Super Soul in the heart. Yogi meditates on Lord Vishnu. What was the description of Lord Vishnu? His beautiful lotus eyes? What was he wearing in his body? Yellow garments? Blue? Yes? Ornamental wreath around his waist? Kostuba gem? And the calf engraved on the Kostuba gem? Sudarshan chakra? Four symbols? Yeah? Kansho? He had leglets, right. Ankle bells. So this is what the yogi is meditating on, flower garlands. And he's standing on the lotus of the devotees' hearts, lotus-like hearts of the devotees, and that's where he's standing. So great mystics, they place the lotus feet of the Lord in their hearts, and they worship them at every moment. That is what the verse says. Don't create perplexities. But they place the lotus feet of the Lord in their hearts, and then they gradually rise in their meditation to the Lord's smiling face. And by such meditation, we heard how the yogis attained the stage of Labdho Pashanti. Yesterday we heard that, where there is no time, no modes, no causal ocean, or material nature. This Ashtanga Yoga practice is a mechanical means of controlling the senses. But in this age of Kali, of course, it is not very practical. Because everyone has short lives, manda, sumanda, matayo, mandabhagya, yupaduta, so many problems. We cannot practice Ashtanga Yoga. It takes thousands of years of practice to attain perfection. And if we even try to do some meditation, there's always some disturbance. Therefore, chanting of the holy names is given to us by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Srila Prabhupada will stress this again in the verses, in the purports of the verses that we're discussing today. He'll stress this chanting. And we also heard how we can meditate on the form of the Lord as the deity in the temple. The chanting, the form of the holy name, we heard in the beginning of this chapter that we must always chant Hare Krishna and hear Srimad Bhagavatam together. And we also heard in the purports, Prabhupada said that as the yogi meditates on Vishnu, the devotee meditates on the deity in the temple. So we'll be seeing here how we have the verses going along, and Prabhupada and his purports will be explaining how the devotee does it. We'll be hearing how the yogi does it, and then we'll also simultaneously be hearing how the devotee. Second step. Yeah. We go, Virat Rup, and then that's external meditation. And then we internal meditation is Super Soul. No, that's not one of these steps. That's the goal. I mean, that is devotion, that is beyond bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga is beyond. But the point is that in all of these processes, it's not that you lose anything. Bhakti includes everything. That's the point. So when the devotee meditates on the deity in the temple, this is non-different from the yogi meditating upon Super Soul in the heart. So the point is that we also meditate. They meditate, we meditate. But we meditate on the deity, and it's a higher meditation, Prabhupada said. It's easier, it's natural, and it's much higher than that of the yogi. So we take from each process, we take something. From the yogic process, bhakti, we take meditation. We meditate on the also of the form of the Lord. We also do that, as the yogis do. So now Shukadeva will describe the results of the meditation of the yogis, how they travel through the universe from place to place until they finally reach Brahmaloka. But Prabhupada said, the yogis and the jnanis, they may reach the impersonal Brahman, but only the devotees can go to Vaikuntha. So this we'll hear in these verses. They're coming up. So this verse 22 is describing that if the yogi has some material desire, and describes the different desires a yogi may have, he may want to have improved material enjoyment, going to Brahmaloka, he might want mystic powers, he might want to travel in outer space, or he might want to live in one of the millions of planets. So these are some of the desires the yogis have. So in the purport, in the second paragraph, Prabhupada explains why the yogis want to go traveling throughout the universe. What is it that the yogis are looking for when they travel throughout the universe? Yes?
Domination.
Domination? Something a little more simple. Ah, yes, that's the general category. Yeah.
He wants to have some world experience.
Yeah, he wants to go sightseeing. Just like Prabhupada says, just like the tourists, they go to different countries, go sightseeing. So the yogi, he wants to see the places he's heard about. He wants to go and visit. He wants to go for a trip. Pleasure trip. Prabhupada says that. As inquisitive persons tour all over the world to gain direct local experience, paragraph 2, the less intelligent transcendentalist similarly desires to have some experience of those planets about which he has heard so many wonderful things. The yogi can, however, easily fulfill his desire by going there with a present materialistic mind and senses. And again, as you say, domination. So this is the difference in mentality of the yogis and devotees, that the devotees are not ambitious to dominate a false and temporary phenomenon. The devotee wants to be dominated. So that's the difference. The yogi wants to dominate. The yogi wants to be dominated. Such an opposite mentality. Completely opposite. The yogi is going looking for somewhere he can dominate, he can control. And the devotee wants to be dominated by Krishna. Prabhupada says, the devotee wants to be dominated by the supreme predominator, the Lord. Desire to serve the Lord, the supreme predominator, is spiritual or transcendental. One has to attain this purification of mind and senses to get admission into the spiritual kingdom. So this is the difference. You can't go to the kingdom of God with the subtle or gross body. But the yogi, if he wants to go and live in these planets, he has to take away with him the subtle body. So this is the process of going to higher planets. And a devotee, actually, he goes back to Godhead in a second. But if he's attracted to any of the places on the way, then he may have to get off the elevator and have a side trip. So we have to be careful. Now we can hear about all these places, so we don't have to worry. We don't be attracted now when we're going to go back to Godhead. We'll already have heard everything, and we'll already have experienced it by hearing these descriptions in Srimad Bhagavatam. The whole Bhagavatam will be describing to us what it's like on all the different planets. So verse 23, the transcendentalists are concerned with the spiritual body. As such, by the strength of their devotional service, austerities, mystic power, and transcendental knowledge, their movements are unrestricted within and beyond the material worlds. The fruitive workers or gross materialists can never move in such an unrestricted manner. So the purport, about five lines down, Prabhupada explains how the transcendentalists, who have nothing to do with the gross material body, can move anywhere within or beyond the material worlds. Within the material worlds, they move in the planetary systems of Mahar, Janas, Tapas, and Satya. So which planetary systems are these? Mahar, Jana, Tapa, Satya. Up, the highest. These are the four highest planetary systems. We'll hear about them, actually. And beyond the material worlds, they can move in the Vaikunthas as unrestricted spacemen. Narada Muni is one of the examples of such spacemen. Devas Muni is an example of a mystic. By the strength of devotional service, austerities, mystic powers, and transcendental knowledge, everyone can move, like Narada Muni or Devasa Muni. It's described that these upper planets, if someone performs perfect brahmacharya or perfect vanaprasa, perfect sannyas, then they can go to these upper planets also. Maharjana Tapa Satya. And the perfect grihasta or king, they can go to Burbhuvarswar, they can go to Swargaloka. So verse 24, O King, when such a mystic passes over the Milky Way by the illuminating Susumna to reach the highest planet, Brahmaloka, he goes first to Vaishvanara, the planet of the deity of fire, wherein he becomes completely cleansed of all contaminations, and thereafter he still goes higher to the circle of Shishumara to relate with Lord Hari, personality of Godhead. So the Milky Way, Prabhupada uses the English name, Milky Way. Just imagine traveling over, you look up at the sky at night, you see the Milky Way. So you can travel, the yogi can go past the Milky Way, and that's the path to Brahmaloka. You go past the Milky Way, and if you keep going, you'll get to Brahmaloka. So just imagine, you look up at the sky at night, you see the Milky Way. So, and what is the Milky Way, actually? What is this? Milky Way, yeah. Yes. Yes. Yes, millions and millions of airplanes carrying Ganga Devi from the higher planets down to Earth. That's the Milky Way, according to fifth canto, I believe, of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is, now we're getting a picture. We heard the Virat Rupa in the first chapter. Now we're getting a yogi's eye view. We're getting the view of the yogi of the Virat Rupa as he goes through it. He goes through all the levels on his way to Brahmaloka. Verse 25. This Shishumara is a pivot for turning of the complete universe. And it is called the navel of Vishnu, Garbhodakshay Vishnu. The yogi alone goes beyond the circle of Shishumara and attains the planet Maharloka, where purified saints like Bhrigu enjoy a duration of life of 4,300,000,000 solar years. This planet is worshipable even for the saints who are transcendentally situated. So what is this number, 4,300,000,000? What is the significance of this number? Does anybody know? Yeah? Yeah, 1,000 yuga cycles, or, in other words, a day of Brahma, a kalpa, a day of Brahma. So in Maharloka planet, which is the lowest of the four high planets, you live for a whole day of Brahma, a whole kalpa. So the yogi can go there. So verse 26, now we're going to have even a longer duration of life. The time of final devastation of the complete universe, the end of the duration of Brahma's life. A flame of fire emanates from the mouth of Ananta, from the bottom of the universe. The yogi sees all the planets of the universe burning to ashes, and thus he leaves for Satyaloka by airplanes used by the great purified souls. The duration of life in Satyaloka is calculated to be 15,480,000,000,000 years. Anybody like to live that long? No. Yeah, well, Madan Gopa, okay. We'll send you to Brahmaloka. We have a candidate. Yes, and you also want to go with Madan Gopal. Okay, you're not so sure. Nishinga Devi, do you want to go? Oh, she wants to go. Okay. So we have some people here who have the desire to go Brahmaloka. No problem. You can go. You can go. You just worship Krishna. Oh, good. Madan Gopal's not joking. He wants to go. Lord Brahma's good association. He's one of the Mahajans. I mean, you can look at it that way. Yes. Perfect your life. Okay. Anyway, we're more ambitious than you are. We want to have a kingdom greater than Lord Brahma. Yes. Oh, you're not going to stop. Okay, good association. But if you want to go there, then you'll have to wait for Rama to die. Of course, you'll be in good association. Yes, there are advantages and there are disadvantages. So here in the purport to verse 26, Prabhupada talks a lot about how accepting the Vedic authority and why it's true and beyond the range of scientific purview. And he's talking about how we should not accept the view of the scientists. Let's see what he says exactly here. For a common ban, both modern science and Vedic wisdom are simply to be accepted because none of the statements, either of modern science or Vedic literature, can be verified by him. The alternative for a common man is to believe either of them or both of them. The Vedic way, both of them would be hard. The Vedic way of understanding, however, is more authentic because it has been accepted by the acharyas, who are not only faithful and learned men, also liberated souls, without any flaws of conditioned souls. So one time, one of Prabhupada's scientist devotees asked Srila Prabhupada if there was a contradiction between Shukadev's version and the version of the material scientists concerning the structure of the universe. What do you think? Is there a contradiction? No contradiction. You say no, okay? No contradiction. Different angle of vision, yes. But Prabhupada said something else. He said, well, there might be some difference, but if you listen to Shukadev, you'll become liberated and go back to Godhead. And that's the real point of knowledge. So better to listen to Shukadev. Shishumara, Chakra, verse 27. Now we're hearing what it's like in Satyaloka. In that planet of Satyaloka, there is neither bereavement, nor old age, nor death. There is no pain of any kind. And therefore, there are no anxieties, save that sometimes, due to consciousness, there is a feeling of compassion for those unaware of the process of devotional service, who are subjected to unsurpassable miseries in the material world. So in the purport near the end, about 9 lines up, Prabhupada says, the intelligent person therefore makes a plan to return home back to Godhead. Such an intelligent person surpasses all the pangs of material existence, like birth, death, disease, and old age. He is actually happy. So he's saying that it's not, Brahmaloka is not the place. One who actually goes beyond, because even in Brahmaloka you have to die. So Prabhupada said he is actually happy because he has no anxieties of material existence. But then again, well, this is actually Brahmaloka. He's describing Brahmaloka. As a compassionate sympathizer, he feels unhappiness for the suffering materialistic men. Thus, he occasionally comes before the materialists to teach them the necessity of going back to Godhead. All the bona fide acharyas preach this truth of returning home back to Godhead and warn men not to make a false plan for happiness in a place where happiness is only a myth. So Prabhupada seems to say that in Brahmaloka, there is no unhappiness. Everybody is free from anxiety. But they feel unhappiness because they see us suffering here. And so they come and preach. So these great preachers, many of them are coming from Brahmaloka. Prabhupada says the acharyas. Madan Gopal, he's coming and he's going back after he finishes his preaching here. That's why he wants to go to Brahmaloka. So these great acharyas, they come and they preach to the common men. And then they go back to Brahmaloka. So Prabhupada indicates this in this purport. Verse 28. And now we'll hear, what is verse? I just read. Verse 28, yes. After reaching Satyaloka, the devotee is specifically able to be incorporated fearlessly by the subtle body in an identity similar to that of the gross body. And one after another, he gradually attains stages of existence, from earthly to watery, fiery, glowing, and airy, until he reaches the ethereal stage. Now, this verse, paragraph 1, Prabhupada talks about 3 different types of people who reach Satyaloka. Who are these 3 different kinds of people who make it up to the highest planet in the universe? You know one? The preachers? Oh, that's, yeah, maybe, yeah. Madhavendrapuri. Karmakandi. Yes. Yes. Okay, and from Karna. Yeah. Virat, yes. One who, perfection in Virat, Rup meditation, you go to Brahmaloka. Yes, Abhinandan. Who? The mystics. Yes, the yogi. The yogi. Madan Gopal. Devotees. Yes. Okay. Yes, for sure. Devotees also go there. You'll have good association. Might be some Karmakandis also. Don't associate with them. Vishaka. Yes. Yes. They become Brahma. So they may also go to Brahmaloka. Those who perform perfectly their duty in Varnashram for 100 births. Abhidandan. From? One who comes down from the spirit. Oh, yeah, we heard that also. He becomes Brahma. Yeah, he becomes Brahma when you first come down. Madan Gopa. Hiranyagarbha can have many meanings. It can mean Virat Rup. It can mean also Super Soul. It can mean also Brahma. Yes, yogis also. Yes, so Prabhupada gives the yogis, those who worship Hiranyagarbha, Virat. Here Prabhupada equates Hiranyagarbha worship with Virat Rupa worship. So let's read this paragraph. Paragraph 1. Anyone who can reach Brahmaloka or Satyaloka by dint of spiritual perfection and practice is qualified to attain three different types of perfection. One who has attained a specific planet by dint of pious activities attains places in terms of his comparative pious activities. So that's a person who 100 births has attained perfection, so he can reach Satyaloka. One who has attained the place by dint of Virat, a Hiranyagarbha worship, is liberated along with the liberation of Brahma. But one who attains the place by dint of devotional service, specifically mentioned here in relation to how he can penetrate into the different coverings of the universe and thus ultimately disclose his spiritual identity and the absolute atmosphere of supreme existence. So he doesn't stop. The devotee doesn't stop there, but he keeps going and penetrates the coverings of the universe, according to this verse here. This is a devotee yogi. He can go through. And Prabhupada explained in one purport in sixth canto, no, it's a conversation, that the devotee, he goes to Krishna immediately, penetrating these material coverings. He said, this is spiritual force. By spiritual force, you can penetrate very quickly all these coverings of the universe. So this is Prabhupada's comment on this. Verse 29 and 30. The devotee thus surpasses the subtle objects of different senses, like aroma by smelling, the palate by tasting, vision by seeing forms, touch by contacting, vibrations of the ear by ethereal identification, and the sense organs by material activities. So these are subtle coverings, Prabhupada says in the purport. Verse 30. The devotee, thus surpassing the gross and subtle forms of coverings, enters the plane of egoism, and in that status he merges the material modes of nature, ignorance, and passion in this point of neutralization, thus reaches egoism and goodness. After this, all egoism is merged in the Mahatattva, and he comes to the point of pure self-realization. So when you hear the description of the creation, which you'll be hearing perhaps a little bit in this canto, in fifth chapter, but especially in third canto, then you'll be hearing how it starts with Mahatattva, then it goes to egoism, and then the modes, and then all these different senses, sense objects are manifested. So now we're going backwards. We're reversing the process of creation. That's what the yogi does. He reverses the process. And here I noticed one interesting thing in the Sanskrit, because when you study in the third canto, then you'll hear how each of these different levels, there is a predominating deity. So the predominating deity of egoism, this place here, is Sankarshan. And if you look in the Sanskrit, it's very interesting, the first line, Sabhuta, let me see, Sabhuta, Sukshmendriya, Sanikarshan. The word Sanikarshan, I don't know if it has any relationship, but I was just thinking, it reminded me of Sankarshan. But Sankarshan is in charge of this plane of egoism that we're hearing about here, Sankarshan. We'll learn that in third canto. But we don't actually have to worry about all these different coverings and all this thing. The devotee, he goes very easily back to Godhead. And Prabhupada explains this here in the purport, paragraph 3 and 4. I'll just read the beginning of paragraph 3. Srila Prabhupada says, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore made it easier for the prospective devotee of the present age in the following specific manner. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what process did he give us? Yes. Sankirtan Yajna, yes. And this whole purport is about this. The paragraphs 3 and paragraphs 4 is all about chanting the holy name. Prabhupada talks about the three stages. The first stage is offensive stage, then reflective. He calls it reflective, clearing stage, and then there's the offenseless stage. So now we are in the offensive stage, but hopefully we can, a lot of the time, practice in the clearing stage also. In the clearing stage, our anarthas are removed. So there are two important things when you're in the clearing stage. There are two symptoms that you're in the clearing stage. Does anybody know what those two symptoms are? Yeah. You don't criticize devotees. Yes, you're free of Madangopa. Yes. Actually, there's seven results. Madhavendra Puri. You may get mukti. Yes. Veshagni Shubhada. Okay. Now my question actually is that what do you have to do to keep on the clearing stage? There are two things that you can do. Yes. Darshan. Yeah. Hearing and chanting. But how? Lila Madhuri. Attentive chanting. Hearing and chanting attentively. And another thing, Shivindavan. Without offenses, yes. Two things that you can do to keep yourself on the clearing stage. Hear attentively and avoid offenses. And then you will keep yourself on the clearing stage of chanting. Avoid offenses and chant attentively. One positive, one negative. So Prabhupada, which paragraph he says. Yes, it's still in the third paragraph. To attain the offenseless stage, one must be on guard in the following manner. That's the end of the third paragraph, then fourth paragraph. When we speak of hearing and chanting, it means not only one should chant and hear holy name of the Lord as Rama, Krishna, or systematically, the 16 names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. But, very important but here, one should also read and hear Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in association of devotees. Not only holy name, we must hear and chant Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Very, very important. Primary practice of Bhakti Yoga will cause the seed already sowed in the heart to sprout. By regular watering process, as mentioned above, Bhakti Yoga creeper will begin to grow. Okay, now don't look at the purport. Let's see how well we know where we're going in this Bhakti Yoga process. So we're now first thing is we have the seed, and we're watering the seed. Now the creeper is sprouting. Now where does it go first? Where is the creeper going first? First stop. Of course, it's not going to stop there, but it's going to go through. Yeah? Yes, it penetrates the covering of the universe. And what's next after that? Yeah. Ramajyoti, Vaitarani, Ramajyoti, Nishinga, spiritual sky, and then? Lotus feet, well, Vaikuntha, and then? Lotus feet of the Lord, Goloka Vrindavan, and then? Then what happens next? Take shelter under the lotus feet of the Lord. And then? Darshan. Fruits. Yeah, and what is Nisinga? Yeah? So he gets fruits in his creeper, yeah? And he tastes the fruits. What else does he do with the fruits besides taste them? Yeah, distributes them. Okay, but first you have to taste. Lord Chaitanya was tasting first, and then he was distributing. Yes, it doesn't say here distribute, but we, you know, we follow Lord Chaitanya, so we know that. We distribute the fruits. And so that's very nice. We have this devotional creeper. But there are a few problems that may arise with any creeper. So what is the problem? What's the worst thing that can happen? Yes, Lila Madhuri. Mad elephant comes in the garden and destroys everything. What is the mad elephant? Guru Vaishnava Parat. Yes, so what to do? Make a fence. What's the fence? Association of pure devotees. Anything else? Hearing and chanting. Well, that's the water. That's the water. So we got the fence. Okay, now what might happen even if you have a fence in there? The elephant won't come, but there's something else. Marangopa, the weeds. Weeds may grow. Yes, what weeds? Lab, puja, pratishta. What else? Kutinati means duplicity. Nisidachar, violence. To other living entities. And some more. There's two big ones. Two categories. Two big categories there. Yeah, Adipurush? Bhukti and Mukti. Bhukti and Mukti. These are all weeds. So Prabhupada says, number 6, you know there's a whole list there. If sufficient care is not taken, the watering process may only help to breed the weeds, stunting the healthy growth of the main creeper and resulting in no fructification of the ultimate requirement, love of Godhead. So sometimes you might see a tree, a creeper going around a tree, and then next to the creeper, there's a weed, and it looks just like the creeper, and it's going around the tree, so it's hard to tell them apart sometimes. So in our devotional practice, sometimes we are doing something, and we think it's bhakti, but actually it's a weed. So we have to be very careful to check this and get it out. 7, devotee must therefore be very careful to uproot the different weeds in the very beginning. Only then will the healthy growth of the main creeper not be stunted. 8, and by so doing, the devotee is able to relish the fruit of love of God, thus live practically with Lord Krishna, even in this life, and be able to see the Lord in every step. The highest perfection of life is to enjoy life constantly in association with the Lord. One who can relish this does not aspire after any temporary enjoyment of the material world via other media. So the yogi, he's reversing the process of creation. He's bringing things from gross to subtle. Actually, creation goes from subtle to gross. So the yogi, he's going from gross to subtle. He has to think step by step. Okay, now I have to take the life air up through the different chakras. Now he must merge this with that and that, and he has to keep on going. So it's a very difficult process. But the devotee, he's working from even beyond the gross and subtle. He's working from the spiritual, from the soul platform. He's engaging the soul directly in service to Krishna, and automatically the gross and subtle will follow, and they'll become purified. So it's a whole different approach. The approach of the yogi and the approach of the devotee. What's another difference in the approach of the yogi and approach of devotee? On his own strength, I will achieve perfection. Yeah, the devotee, he makes his effort, but he depends on the Lord, mercy, yeah. Yes, devotional service is joyful. Very joyful. As soon as you get past Anarthanavritti, especially. And until then, we have to be patient. Yes, but it's also joyful. Yes, of course it's joyful. Also, patience is required because sometimes the mercy may come in different forms. Any other difference between the yogi and the devotee? Needs an expert gardener, one who really knows the difference. Okay, we have an anecdote. The little one? Oh, no. It's a good thing Maharaj's not here today. Whoa, that's funny. Basil. Oh, must have shocked everyone, huh? Maharaj, kijai. Right. Tulsi seminar. Okay. All right. So be careful. Your weed might be bigger than your creeper. And you might think it's your creeper. Yes. This happens. This happens sometimes. We think, oh, what a nice creeper I have. But actually, it's not the creeper. It's the weed. Shingadev. Impersonal, yeah. Okay. Yogis are more impersonal. Abhinanda. We're going back to the difference between yogis and devotees. Yes, Abhinanda. Oh. Okay. Oh, without the hint of devotional service, the yogis cannot achieve success. That's a big difference. Unless they become devotees, they won't be successful. So, the holy name. This is, Prabhupada says, beyond, if you listen to that lecture on chanting Hare Krishna, beyond the mind, senses, and intelligence. It's on the spiritual platform. So when we chant Hare Krishna, we attract the mind, the intelligence, and the senses, the tongue, to serve Krishna. So this is, so the devotees, they don't worry. They just simply chant and water their creeper. And the creeper will take him all the way to Goloka Vrindavan. He doesn't have to worry about going to the planet of fire and this one and that one. He just rides on the creeper. Holds on tight. So the yogi, he pushes himself up, but the devotee, he depends on Krishna. There's a nice verse in Bhagavad Gita, in the 12th chapter, which explains how Krishna picks up the devotee. You know that verse? 6 and 7. Yeah. Yetu sarvani karmani, is it? Mai sanyasi mapara. Mandayanta upasate. Dartha? Samsara sagarat. Okay, so it says that the yogi, he's always meditating on me. I pick him up from the ocean of birth and death. You have the picture. There's the devotee drowning and he's got his hand up in the middle of the ocean. Then there's Garuda coming and the Lord is on Garuda and he's picking up the devotee. So that's how we go. Very nice process. We hold on to Krishna's hand, hold on to our Guru's hand. So Prabhupada is describing the importance of the devotional creeper. And I found one interesting lecture, not lecture, just a very small part of a lecture, where Prabhupada describes, I'll read this last sentence of the purport first, and describes a number 8. It says, a devotee lives practically with Lord Krishna even in this life, and he's able to see the Lord in every step. So, in one lecture, Prabhupada, this is actually on the first canto, 13th chapter, verse 10, which you had to learn, Bhavadvidha Bhagavatas, how the devotee, he's a moving pilgrimage because he keeps Krishna in his heart. So this chapter is also about the Lord in the heart, but for the devotee, the Lord is Krishna, Radha and Krishna in the heart. So I'd just like to read you this little excerpt from a lecture. Prabhupada describes a meditation on Lord Krishna in the heart. Prabhupada says, this is in Geneva in 1974, says, a Hare Krishna mantra chanting means keeping Krishna always within your heart. You can imagine, in my heart, I have placed a very nice diamond throne and Krishna is sitting. Even within the mind, you think, I have kept one diamond throne, very costly throne, because Krishna is coming, he'll sit down there. That is not false. That is a fact. So you create such a situation within your heart. Now Krishna is sitting. Let me wash his feet with Ganga water, Jamuna water. Now I change his dress to first-class costly garments. Then I decorate with ornaments. Then I give him some food for eating. Prabhupada says, you can simply think of this. This is meditation. Swantasthena gadabhrita. It is so nice. Anywhere you can sit down, think Krishna is sitting in your heart, and you are receiving him in such a nice way. This is not false. This is a fact, and it's so easy. So here's Prabhupada's meditation that he gave in this lecture in Geneva, 1974. You can actually meditate. And we heard this in Nectar of Devotion, how the yogi, or one man, heard a Bhagavat Sapta, that you can also think of Krishna, meditate, and do puja in your heart. So he did it, and he burnt his finger on the sweet rice. So that story is there. So we'll go on to verse 31. Only the purified soul can attain the perfection of associating with the personality of Godhead and complete bliss and satisfaction in his constitutional state. Whoever is able to renovate such devotional perfection is never again attracted by this material world, and he never returns. So Prabhupada talks about, it's a huge purport, which we won't go into too much, but he talks about one analogy. The impersonalists are compared to fish merging into the ocean. How is that? Why are they like fish? Spawn, right. So then? They have to go back into the river. And who else is in the ocean there? Sharks. Who are the sharks? Devotees, yes. And they may also eat those small fish. No, they wouldn't do that. Okay. Devotees are very merciful. Okay. So another point in this purport, paragraph 4. This is the beginning of paragraph 4. Prabhupada says, the word, we should note in this verse the two words, shantam and anandam, which means devotional service of the Lord can really bestow upon the devotee two important benedictions, peace and satisfaction. But you have to give up a whole lot of things. And that's Prabhupada describes in paragraph 6. Remember that verse, devotee gives up all perplexities. So now Prabhupada's describing what those perplexities are again. To be more clear, if one wants to attain the stage of love of Godhead, he must give up all desires for material enjoyment, should refrain from worshipping any demigods, should devote himself only to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He must give up the foolish idea of becoming one with the Lord and desire to have some wonderful powers just to get the ephemeral adoration of the world. Pure devotee is only favorably engaged in service of the Lord without any hope of emolument. This will bring about love of Godhead. The stage of shantam and anandam is stated in this verse. So shantam means peace. Where do we hear about this? We hear about this in Bhagavad Gita, shantam. 529. Okay. You accept the Lord as the only enjoyer, the only friend. And what's the other one? Sridhams, that's only friend. Lord of all planets. Then you will get peace. Okay, what about anandam? Anywhere. Also, shantam we hear in Brahma Samhita. The devotees, shantam, they see Krishna in the heart, Shamasundara. Anandam, where have we heard about anandam? Anandam buddhivardhanam, yes. Always increasing the ocean of bliss. That is the holy name of the Lord, Harinam Sankirtan. So this is anandam. Verse 32, Your Majesty Maharaj Parikshit, know that all I have described in reply to your proper inquiry is just according to the version of the Vedas, and it is eternal truth. This was described personally by Lord Krishna unto Brahma, with whom the Lord was satisfied upon being properly worshipped. So this, in the purport, Prabhupada describes paragraph 1, beginning, as will be clarified. Oh, no, that's, sorry. That's the next verse. We'll go to the next verse. Because this verse, it's true, but it's not exactly to the point. But the next verse is going to be exactly to the point, and that's verse 33. And this is the conclusion. For those who are wandering in the material universe, there is no more auspicious means of deliverance than what is aimed at in direct devotional service of Lord Krishna. So he talks all about this mystic yoga and all this, but here's the conclusion. Best thing is devotional service. And every chapter, practically every chapter, we'll hear the same thing. Devotional service to Krishna. Bhakti yoga. What does it say here? Bhakti yoga, yatobhave. Vasudeva bhagavati. Bhakti yoga. Prayojita, yes. So purport, paragraph one. As will be clarified in the next verse, devotional service or direct bhakti yoga is only absolute and auspicious means of deliverance from the grip of material existence. There are many indirect methods for deliverance from the clutches of material existence, but none of them is as easy and auspicious as bhakti yoga. So if bhakti yoga is the only best thing at the end of the purport, also it says, Shridhar Swami, all other acharyas like Jiva Goswami agree, bhakti yoga is not only easy, simple, natural, free from trouble, but is the only source of happiness for the human being. So, over and over again, bhakti is the most auspicious. Why is he describing this indirect process at all? Why should it be here? Shri Vrindavan. Okay, to glorify bhakti yoga? To show it's the highest? Yes? Yes. Right. So bhakti is direct, but not everybody can accept the direct process. Madhavendra Puri. Yes, that also. And if someone is interested in performing the indirect process, the way it's being described in Bhagavatam, he has to become a devotee. He has to take to bhakti, amalagora. Goals of the practice. Okay? Okay? Yes. 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 Right. Right. Yeah, we'll hear about this in a verse that's coming up, actually, about the importance of pure devotees. And that's the only way. Madan Gopa. Mm-hmm. Yes. Right. Right. Yeah, it's a very good point. Yes, yeah, so he wanted to... There were many different sages present because they had different opinions. So he wanted to clarify for them also that this is the best thing. Okay? And I have two more reasons here. Yes. To show the complexities. So we won't take it up. Nishinga Devi. Yeah, that's bhakti yoga. Yes, actually that was one of the points I had. He's teaching us what not to do so we can reject these difficult paths. That's one point I had here. And then another thing that... we heard about in the last chapter that he's giving favorable conditions for spiritual practice also. Meditation on the form of the Lord, that's favorable. Yeah, but also we can take some of these. We meditate on the form of the Lord also. We also, at the end of life, we leave home, become detached. That's in the first chapter. So all of these reasons why he's describing. Now the next verse... The great personality Brahma, with great attention and concentration of the mind, studied the Vedas three times, and after scrutinizingly examining them, he ascertained that attraction for the Supreme Personality of Godhead Shri Krishna is the highest perfection of religion. So the purport, Prabhupada explains that Shukadeva is referring to Brahma, because when somebody speaks, he has to refer to authority. So Shukadeva is referring to the authority of Brahma. He's the greatest authority in the universe because he heard the Vedas from Krishna. Prabhupada says the Vedas were taught to Brahma in the beginning of the material creation. Although Brahmaji was to hear Vedic instructions directly from the personality of Godhead in order to satisfy the inquisitiveness of all prospective students of the Vedas, Brahmaji, just like a scholar, studied the Vedas three times, as generally done by all scholars. He studied with great attention, concentrating on the purpose of the Vedas. And after scrutinizingly examining the whole process, he ascertained that becoming a pure, unalloyed devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is the topmost perfection of all religious principles. And this is the last instruction of Bhagavad Gita directly presented by the Personality of Godhead. Vedic conclusion is thus accepted by all acharyas. Those who are against this conclusion are only Veda Vararathas, as explained in Bhagavad Gita. So he studied the Vedas, and that was his conclusion. And yes, Sri Vrindavan. Yes, I know. What's your question? Yeah, it seems to say that. It says here that he was going to hear directly from Krishna, but in order to, he still studied them. Again, interesting. Yeah, how? Well, because if you go all the way to the end of this canto, then he'll give him the benediction that you will never fall away from this. So that he wakes up every morning in the morning, and then this looks like this time he remembered them. Usually he forgets. He wakes up in forgetfulness. Sometimes he may also remember the Vedas. But then, just because you have read the Vedas doesn't mean you know, you understand them. Of course, he understood. Without a guru, it's very difficult. You may read Bhagavad Gita, but if you don't have a proper guru, then you may not. But of course, Brahma understood, but still, of course, then he was to hear from Krishna. Then the, yes, Nishinde. Vedas means Srimad Bhagavatam. No, this is Vedas. Three Vedas, or four Vedas, whatever was there in the beginning of creation. Of course, the essence is there in the Vedas, but it's hidden. Shruti, this is Shruti. Shruti. He also received Bhagavatam in the beginning of creation. That's what we'll hear about in this. It's different, yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he studied himself also. So the three times, what are the three times? We looked up the commentaries today, and we found that the three times he studied the three different ways was karma. The first time he studied by karma. He understood this as karmakanda. Second time, jnanakanda. And the third time was bhakti, or upasana, or bhakti. Bhakti. So This is, we looked it up in the commentary. Who is it? Jiva Goswami, in his commentary on this verse. Yes. Yes, yeah, he studied all the Vedas, and then his conclusion is this, that the attraction for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is the highest perfection of religion. This is a goal of the Vedas. So verse 35. Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, is in every living being, along with the individual soul. And this fact is perceived and hypothesized in our acts of seeing and taking help from the intelligence. So I'm not going to go through this whole purport. I gave you a little summary of it. So you can study that on your own. Oh, you weren't here. Okay. We must have some more copies somewhere. But anyway, I want to read the end of that. The conclusion. I'd like to read the conclusion, which is on your summary. I don't know. Adiprush, you have any more of these? Sri Vrindavan needs one. And Lila Madhuri needs one. And Darshan and Premaniti, four. He's already gone. So anyway, on this summary, it explains how the common man can perceive the super soul. And it's just a summary of the points of the purport. But I would just read the last two because that's the conclusion, because we don't have so much time. Number 13, realization of Supersoul is the beginning of self-realization. One further progresses to realize Supreme Personality of Godhead by intelligence, by the help of authorized scriptures, and principally by the grace of the Lord. So making progress, now after you realize Supersoul, how do you make progress? Prabhupada says, by intelligence, by the help of authorized scriptures, and principally by the grace of the Lord. So that's how you make progress. 14, then Prabhupada tells us what to do. Prabhupada's instruction. If the soul is determined and also prays for the mercy of director of intelligence, Supersoul, purport of the Vedas is revealed and he can realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's the conclusion. That we have to be determined and pray for the mercy of the director of intelligence, Supersoul. And Prabhupada, in one letter, it's 1970, to Sachi Sutta, Prabhupada wrote this letter. He said, if you simply chant your rounds daily as prescribed and stick exactly, strictly to the rules and regulations, all these questions will automatically be answered by Krishna as Supersoul. Because this one devotee had so many questions and he was writing to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, you just chant your 16 rounds. Follow regular principles and you'll get all the answers from Supersoul. Very interesting letter. Then he gives him, you may refer to Bhagavad Gita to those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love. I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Out of compassion for them, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy the shining lamp of knowledge, the darkness born of ignorance. This process of understanding by devotional service is essential for developing Krishna consciousness, and you all must follow this program assiduously. So Prabhupada said, just chant your 16 rounds, follow regular principles, and then you can consult Supersoul for answers to your questions. This is a letter in 1970, very beginning of this movement. So verse 36 and 37 are answer to Prikshit's question about what is the duty of a person about to die. And we've heard this answer already many, many times, and we're going to hear it again in verse 36. Tasmat sarvatmana rajan hari sarvatra sarvada shauta vikirtita vyascha smartavya bhagavan vinam. O King, it is therefore essential that every human being hear about, glorify, and remember the Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead, always and everywhere. Where did we hear this before? 215. What does Shukadeva say there? Tasmat bharata sarvatma sharo hari shotavya kititavyascha sartavyascheta bayam. And in first canto, second chapter, verse 14. Sa tasmat ekena manasa bhagavan sattvatam pati shotavya kititavyascha pujas janityada. So here we have three very similar verses. And we're hearing it again, 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 that this is the conclusion and this is the answer. 1.2.14. 1.2.14 is very similar to 2.1.5. And this verse also, again, he's going to keep saying the same thing over and over again. Srimad Bhagavatam. Beginning of the purport. Srila Shukadeva Goswami begins this verse with the word tasmat, or therefore, because in the previous verse he has already explained, that means verse 33, there is no auspicious means for salvation other than sublime process of bhakti yoga. So which of the nine processes is most important? You skip some lines. And Prabhupada says, of all the nine, which one is most important? Which one does Prabhupada say? Shavanam. Most important. Without hearing sufficiently and properly, no one can make any progress by any of the methods of practice. So you need hearing for every method. For hearing only, all the Vedic literatures are there, compiled by authorized persons like Vyasadeva, who is a powerful incarnation of Godhead. Then, 16 lines up from the bottom. How is hearing how Prabhupada said, hearing is solidified by the process of what? What solidifies chanting? Yes, chanting. One who has perfectly heard from the perfect source becomes convinced about the all-pervading personality of Godhead and becomes enthusiastic in glorifying the Lord. Then, this is, yeah, that was 16 lines up from the bottom. And now I'm going down some more, maybe about 10 lines or 8 lines. Because the Lord is all-pervading, it is essential to glorify Him always and everywhere. In the process of glorifying the Lord, there should be no restriction of time and space. This is called Sanatana Dharma or Bhagavat Dharma. Sanatana means eternal, always and everywhere. Two Sanskrit words here in this verse express this. You know what these two words are? How it is eternal, always and everywhere. Sarvatra, Sarvada. Where do we find these two words again? We're going to hear them later on in some very famous verse. Yes, Hare Purush? Chatushloki. The last verse of Chatushloki, Sarvatra, Sarvada. And it means devotional service. That the last verse is about devotional service, how it can be performed anywhere and everywhere. All time, all space. So this is bhakti. So now, what's that? What's that verse? Oh, on the other hand, that literature? Tasyaivateto. Yeah, okay. Maybe a different context. Sarvada. So, we've been talking all about Super Soul here. And Prabhupada said we should pray to Super Soul in his purport. So what Prabhupada gave us a prayer, actually, what we should pray to Super Soul, very wonderful prayer in 1968 to Devananda. Well, before I tell you this prayer, what do you think would be a good thing to pray for from Super Soul, considering the function of Super Soul and as we know it? Yes. Attentiveness in hearing and chanting. Yeah, you're pretty close. What would you say, Shivananda? Intelligence to execute your service, yes. Abhinandan. Get rid of dirty things, yes. Develop attraction for Krishna. Okay. Prabhupada, anyway, he picks up, there's the verse, Sarvasya Chaham Vidhi Sannivishto. So there's two functions there. Matas Briti Gyanam Apohanam Cha. The Super Soul makes you remember, helps you remember and forget. So Prabhupada, on this point, he made a prayer to Super Soul. Prabhupada said, simply our prayer should be, my dear Krishna, please remind me to always chant your holy name. Please do not put me into forgetfulness. He wants to be reminded to chant. You are sitting within me as Super Soul, so you can put me into forgetfulness or into remembering you. So please do not put me into forgetfulness. Please always remind me to chant. Even you may send me to hell, it doesn't matter, just as long as I can always chant Hare Krishna. That was his prayer. A very simple prayer to Super Soul. Just remind me to chant Hare Krishna. This is a letter to Devananda in 1968. I think he forgot. Anyway, Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda are singing, then he keeps going in the letter. That was the prayer. The prayer is finished. It says, Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda are singing one very nice song in which they are requesting everyone to please chant Hare Krishna and come along with them. So that is our request to everyone. Anybody know the name of that song? I know the name of it, actually. It's Radha Krishna Bol Bol Bolo Re Shabai. That Yeah, part of it that Prabhupada's quoting is that Lord Chaitanya is requesting everyone, you just come with me. I'm only asking you one thing in charity, you know, because you're supposed to give sannyasi, you're supposed to give alms in charity. So my only bhiksha, the only thing I want from you is that you come along with me and chant Radha Krishna. That's what I'm asking. And so this is Prabhupada, beautiful letter to Super Soul. Prayer to Super Soul. And the last verse, verse 37. Those who drink through oral reception, fully filled with the nectarian message of Lord Krishna, beloved of the devotees, purify the polluted aim of life known as material enjoyment, and thus go back to Godhead, to the lotus feet of Him, the personality of Godhead. So paragraph 1, near the end, Prabhupada says, paragraph 1, starts with life is never made comfortable by artificial means. Can't seem to find this. I don't know where it is. But by plain living and high thinking, you found it. The highest perfectional thinking for human society is suggested here by Shukadev Goswami, namely, sufficiently hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is high thinking, highest perfectional. High thinking is hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. For men in this age of Kali, when they have lost the perfect vision of life, the Srimad Bhagavatam is a torchlight by which to see the real path. Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhupada has commented on Kathamritam mentioned in this verse and has indicated Srimad Bhagavatam to be the nectarian message of the personality of Godhead. So this Kathamritam, that's Bhagavatam. That's what we must hear. By sufficient hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam, polluted aim of life, namely lording it over matter, will subside, and the people in general in all parts of the world will be able to live a peaceful life of knowledge and bliss. Now, paragraph 2. For a pure devotee of the Lord, any topics in relation with his name, fame, quality, entourage, etc. are all pleasing. And because such topics have been approved by great devotees like Narada, Hanuman, Nanda Maharaj, you never hear these people. Prabhupada, Nanda Maharaj, I never heard quoting Nanda Maharaj, Hanuman, and Narada altogether, and other inhabitants of Vrindavan. Certainly, such messages are transcendental and pleasing to the heart and soul. Prabhupada is quoting Nanda Maharaj. And Hanuman, and all Narada. Paragraph 3. And by the constant hearing of the message of Bhagavad Gita and later of Srimad Bhagavatam, one is assured herein by Srila Shukadeva Goswami, he will reach the personality of Godhead and render him transcendental loving service in the spiritual planet of the name Goloka Vrindavan, which resembles a huge lotus flower. So we should keep on our ears two earrings, holy name and Srimad Bhagavatam, always. This should be the decoration for our ears, holy name and Srimad Bhagavatam. And then we'll be happy and we'll get everything that's described here, all the benefits we will get. Fully filled with those who drink through the ears the nectarian message of Lord Krishna, purify the polluted aim of life known as material enjoyment and go back to Godhead, to the lotus feet. So we just have to remember, we pray to Super Soul, please remind me to chant Hare Krishna and to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, we'll stop here. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Any questions or comments on these verses? Nishing Devi. Oh yes, this is a verse in Bhagavad Gita where it says, there's a picture actually in Bhagavad Gita. A devotee, he's like in the ocean of material existence and he's got his hand up like this, waiting for help. And then Krishna is coming on Garuda and Krishna's putting his hand down to pull the devotee up. So this is, we depend on Krishna for going back to Godhead. Oh, he picks us up at the end of life. The back to Godhead. Yeah. Yes, why not? Madhavendra Puri? Which water? Oh, the coverings. Okay. Yes, you were bewildered. Everybody else understood? Yeah. Pray many. Well, in the purport there says there's two types. Yeah, Prabhupada said there's two types of water.
Well, I understood three because I understood there was three.
Yeah, okay.
But we didn't agree with that.
Okay, it's paragraph two. Paragraph two. The water of the causal ocean is differently situated than the covering water of the universe. You agree with that, everybody? Everybody agrees that. You're the group leader?
No.
Oh. You're the group leader. Okay. No, okay, so let's read the purport. So causal ocean, everybody agrees. That's a covering. It's spiritual. It's not material.
Yeah.
Causal ocean is Ganga. It's spiritual. So that's one. We got one cover. That's not a covering, though. That's beyond, okay? So causal ocean is different, Prabhupada says. Yeah, the watery portion is beyond the sevenfold covering. Yeah, yeah. So then, but Prabhupada talks about causal ocean here. So we have the water of the causal ocean is differently situated than the covering water of the universe. So then he talks about the water. Water that serves as covering for the universe is material, whereas the water of the causal ocean is spiritual. So the causal ocean is not the covering. It's something, it's different. It's different, yeah. It's not part of the covering. It's not part. So that, well, we're just reading the purport. Let's read. The water that serves as covering for the universe is material, whereas the water of causal ocean is spiritual. So now we've got two. We've got a material and we've got a spiritual water, right? Wait, wait. Yeah. Okay, there's the Viraja River. As such, the watery covering mentioned herein is considered to be the false egoistic covering of all living entities, and the gradual process of liberation from material coverings is the gradual process of being liberated from false egoistic conceptions of a material gross body. Okay, so what was your conclusion? You didn't have a conclusion. Okay, what are your two types? The what? Causal ocean and? The water. The first, yeah, there's the first layer. Okay. Well, here it seems to be another layer here. Prabhupada says it's the false egoistic covering here. The water covering mentioned is the false. Oh yeah, okay. Actually, you can take it either way. That this water is also false ego. It's part of the false ego. All of the five elements come from false ego. They're all manifestations of false ego. So I think I would agree with them that it's two. There's the causal ocean and then there's this water. But this water, what Prabhupada seems to say here is that it's a manifestation of false ego. So all these elements are different manifestations of false ego, and one of them is water. Yeah. But also, yes. No. Yeah. Anyway, you can look at it from different angles. You can see also three, like she was saying, Viraja River. That's also there. The Viraja, it could be taken as, it's in between. It's between. It's between causal ocean and. Yeah, it's a separation between material and spiritual. Causal ocean is spiritual. The Viraja is like in between.
The first layer is Ganga.
That's Ganga. Yeah, spiritual. Okay, I'm calling you Vamana. Sankirtan. I don't know why. Nothing, just. What's your question? Yeah, I think that's good. Yeah, it's good. If you're getting that message, that's very nice.
Yes.
Yeah, prophet, adoration and distinction. Lab Puja Pratishta. Yes. No? Well, there's more purification to come. Don't worry. This is only the beginning. Wait, well, you haven't gone through Kartik yet. Okay. Shivrindavan. Oh, yes. Liberation. Mm-hmm. And the which stage? Clearing stage. Yes. Arinam Chittamani. You can get it. You may also be on Namabhasa and not be liberated. But the result of. Yeah, okay. Oh, you asked him. Yeah, right. Yes. Yeah, that's a good point. That the clearing stage of chanting gives you liberation, but you have to stay on the liberated platform. And I heard Prabhupada say that another place recently in some purport, that if you stay on the platform of devotional service, Brahma Bhuta, then you can go back to Godhead at the end of life, if you remain on that platform. So we always have the choice not to remain on that platform. At every moment, we can decide to do something else. Bettina. Text 26. Which people are you talking about here now? Yeah, they can get purified in Satyaloka by good association. Yes. Yes, it's a possibility if they don't take the association of devotees. Be pretty hard though. Yeah, it's just that, I mean, if you're going to live 15 trillion, billion years, it's practically you're deathless. I mean, the demigods are also called Amara because they have such a long life and they don't live as long as Brahma. And they're called immortals. They are the Amaras, they are the immortals. So, in one sense, one way of looking at it is there is no death, practically speaking, on Brahmaloka. But there is death if you look at it from another perspective, because you're in the material world. So even those in Brahmaloka have to experience death. So that's why we shouldn't want to go there. We may think it's a very nice place, but abrahma bhuvana loka. It's material. That's the point. Yes, Vishaka. Yes. Yeah, and everybody who's with Brahma goes. Then what? Yeah, in that sense, there is no death, right? No, they go back to Godhead with Brahma. It's supposed to be. Yes, so there is no death. And that way of looking at it. Yes. Yes, Shivandavan. What's that? Oh, you were Lord Brahma and you blew it. Yeah, we've heard that. After being Lord Brahma. Yes. Yes, some Brahmas are not pure devotees, but ours is. Yeah. You have a choice. So yes, you may be unfortunate to get with a Brahma that's not a pure devotee and you have to come back. But generally speaking, Brahma goes back to Godhead, and those who are with him go. We're speaking generally here. We're not talking about exceptions. Yes, Paramakarna. 29. Yes. The mystic devotee.
And can I just ask for a clarification on these things?
Which things?
How he surpasses these things by smelling and then
him. Oh, the devotee. How does he do it? What do you mean? How is he?
How does he surpass, you know?
Because these are different levels. Yeah. These are different levels in the coverings of the universe, or different levels within the universe that everybody goes through on their way out of the universe. So the devotee, it's not a big deal. He doesn't even notice it practically. That, okay, now it's the subtle and now it's the forms, and he just goes straight. For the yogi, it's a big deal. He has to see, okay, now I'm doing this, now it's doing this. But for us, it doesn't make a difference. But when you study the creation in Canto 3, and perhaps, I don't know how detailed it is in Canto 2, then it'll be more clear what's happening, because it'll explain all these different levels in the creation. How it, yeah. Well, Prabhupada is making the point that only the devotee can go back. Actually, you have to become a devotee to go through this. No, he's not seeing and he's not tasting. Actually, it's Prabhupada's English that's confusing you. This is the problem. Vishaka. Yeah. Yeah, that's a very nice way to see. Yeah. Yeah. That's a very nice way to see it, a very devotional way. But the way that I understand that Prabhupada's talking here is these are each a phrase. Aroma by smelling means smelling aroma. What he's meaning to say is that the subtle objects of different senses, like smelling aroma, like tasting by the palate, like seeing, you know, that's what my understanding is, that if these are just different levels. And that's what he says in the purport, beyond the sky there are subtle coverings resembling the elementary coverings. It's subtle coverings that you go through. And these are just like, he's just indicating these different coverings. This is means smelling, tasting, vision. But it's just his the way he... Yeah, he surpasses all these things. He's, all the sense objects and the senses. There's a Sanskrit name, I think, Tanmatra or something like that. These are the sense objects. He's going beyond all these things. It's not that he's experiencing, you know, all these different things, but he's going beyond these different levels. These are different levels, subtle levels in the creation, in the universe, and he's just going through them like that. And because I read his book so many times, and I just, for me, when I read this, I understand, okay, the palate by seeing, you know, because you'll read about it in the creation. It keeps saying the same thing over and over again. And so, you know, it's just a level that he, and he doesn't have anything to do with it. He's just passing through. Like, you're going on a train, and there's different stations, but you may not even notice the stations. You're just going through. Huh? Yeah, if you're selling books on the train, right, you don't notice the stops. So your vision is fixed on Krishna, and you don't, what's going on, you know, where you're going, you don't notice. But you just notice, focus where your goal is. Yeah, Shivendavan? Narada Muni. Yeah, like lightning. Yeah, so all these things we're reading about here in this chapter, we're getting a very nice technical description, but actually it happens instantaneously, in a second, very, very quickly. So you go back to Godhead in a sec. Abhinandan? Changing a room. Changing from one room to the other. Okay? That's going to the spiritual world. Very natural. Yeah, lightning, the example of Narada Muni was very nice. Just like lightning occurs. Yeah, so quickly that you can't figure out how it happened. No time to figure it out. Here we're figuring it out. Now we have time. But when it actually happens, then you'll know, you'll understand this is what's happening. So you don't have to worry about it. Just focus on Krishna. Vishakha. Praying, what's that? Praying to get an answer from Super Soul. Prabhupada said we should do that, yes. Okay, so that's one way to contact Super Soul. How else can we contact Super Soul? Here in Vrindavan? Increase your chanting. Yes. Yes. Chant. Because when you chant, you're actually contacting Super Soul. It's really chanting means you're connecting. And then, you know what that means? You have little intelligence, but Super Soul has so much intelligence. And when you connect, then you connect with the whole Vedabase or whatever. You know, so you can get the answer. Yeah, Prem Nidhi. How do we know if we're connected? That's a very good question. Can anybody answer? How do we know if we're connected or not? Avinandan. How do we know if we have eaten? You're full, you're satisfied, your hunger is... Yes. Shivendavan? Okay. So you check, so he has a good answer. You want to know you're connected. If you have some question you asked and you got the answer, then you confirm it with Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Yes, Premaniti. Unbroken connection. Yes, I like the phones in India.
Yeah.
Well, that's up to you. Don't break the connection. Yes? Okay, how do we know if we're a Vanamali? Who is your Guru Maharaj? Javatakaswami, yes. Okay, here's the connection. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari. So if you're in doubt whether or not you're connected, then just try, just chant this. Yeah, dial this number. Shri Krishna Chaitanya, never busy, Madhavendrapur. He's from Mayapur, so he should know that this number is always ready. Nishingadev. Okay? Concentrate on the Guru who has connection with Krishna. Okay? He must connect you. That's very good. There's no doubt about the connection, but it's how you also apply. Prabhupada also said that one time at an initiation lecture. He says, now you're connected, but that doesn't mean that now you're liberated and you're already back to Godhead. You have to follow. If you follow, then you will continue to be connected and continue to be on the liberated platform. But don't make it a farce. Don't make a vow and then just break it. Yes. Okay, so check your thoughts. And by your thoughts, you can see if you're connected or not, at least at that moment in time. Darshan. Mind. Okay. Another point that you should establish yourself in goodness, then you can hear dictation of Supersoul. Yes. Tararajastamo bhava kama loba raischa. Yeah. Oh, yes. Remember that verse in Bhagavad Gita? When the mind is controlled, then Supersoul is achieved. And he gets, that's 27, yes? 7. There's two verses similar. Okay, Jitatmana, Prashantasya, Paramatma, Samahita. Yes. So when the mind is conquered, Supersoul is achieved. Marangupa. Okay, when you practice, then you become more able to discriminate if it's your mind or the Super Soul is speaking. Yes, Srivandavan. By the legitimate process of hearing and chanting. Is that in a purport? Which one? Okay, it's in this chapter. By the legitimate process. Yeah, so no offenses, legitimate. No offenses. Give up offenses. Vishaka. And you ignore it. If you ignore the warnings of the Super Soul speaks very loudly, and you ignore it, you become in trouble. If you ignore it. Oh, no, what Prabhupada is just saying is that there's much more to him than creation and order supplier. See, that's what Prabhupada's trying to say. He's full, but God is much more than this. That order supplier, he gives the desires of the souls, he controls the material creation, he dominates, but God is so much more. Krishna is so much more. Yeah. Yeah, because actually that's the conception of many religions, that this is God. But we understand that there's so much more. There's relationships, these five rasas, there's the spirit, there's Goloka, and so many things, much more than our relationship in this material world with him. Much more. The Super Soul is in this material world. Yeah. And he's still glancing. If he doesn't glance, then this world is finished. I mean, he shoots the first glance, but then he keeps glancing. Otherwise, there's no material world. I mean, he has to keep on glancing. Yeah. Imagine Krishna's glance. Shivindavan. By your glance. Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. The deity, yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. He said, so you should go in the temple and let Krishna glance on you, and then you'll become very beautiful and perfect. Always have Krishna's glance on you. Right. Yes, it was the glance of Krishna. Yeah, what's in a glance? In Krishna's glance, there's everything. It says even he can destroy just by his eyebrow. He can destroy the whole universe if he just flicks his eyebrow. So what to speak of? He creates, he maintains, and he destroys by his glance. Yes. Last one. Yeah. Why are you worried about all the Brahmas? Just this one. Who? Yeah, Brahma. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but we're just in one universe, this universe. So we have one Brahma. So that's, you only have to worry about that one. Not many. You're only in one universe at a time. So why you worry about so many Brahmas? It's only one in this universe. And you're in this universe, only one you. So. Oh, don't worry about that. Let's think about how to go back to Godhead. Yeah. Yeah, that's all right. We don't need to worry about technical things. Yeah. It's all right. All right. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.